Well, how you folks been? This is the Conesy as usual. It is Friday, June 1st, 2012. We're rocking it out once again. I wanted to talk a little bit about today's topic, which is going to actually be my preparations for the Blood in the Sun tournament. Now, you'll have listened to the show, the main show, the Wisco Dice Show, and probably have heard or gotten the gist that Conesy here is going to take some Orcs and Goblins to Blood in the Sun, which is a Blood in the Sun is a 2-day Warhammer 2400 point Warhammer fantasy tournament that's held by the handsome man Grant Fetter and the NW2 crew there in Illinois, and it's one of my favorite tournaments. It's certainly my favorite Illinois tournament, if for no other reason than the fact that I don't have to drive through any tolls to get there. And I, being a good warm-blooded Wisconsin person, don't like tolls much. Don't matter which state it is. So, on the show, I had talked a little bit about what I was bringing, I think, and the Orcs and Goblins, and how I wasn't real satisfied or happy with that idea. Well, lists were due for Blood in the Sun yesterday, and Conesy was thinking, I couldn't find motivation to paint any more Black Orcs. How in the world am I going to find motivation even to play this army? Well, to be honest with you, that wasn't going to happen. I just couldn't find any motivation. So I had submitted a list that originally for the Orcs and Goblins that I was happy with. It was fun to play, but it certainly wasn't never going to see the top tables and wasn't a top table competitive army. And I just wasn't inspired or excited about the list. Or the army. I've lost my real excitement for the Orcs and Goblins, I'll be honest. And it's time for me to move on. And I've been trying to get this Beastman project going, but painting on it's painstakingly slow, which means I start to lose motivation because the things that normally drive me to huge excitement to paint, like tournaments, it's just so far away from that it's not even something that I can push towards. Or used to help push and motivate me. So, I was looking at the armies ahead on the shelf and the ones that I liked the gameplay, and I've always loved playing Dark Elf Army. And I looked at the models I would need to kind of get things turned around to 8th edition kind of standards for a 2400 point list. And I had all the models, I owned them all, they were on the shelf and just needed to be assembled. So I started madly Wednesday night assembling models just to see if I could get to an assembly point that I felt I'd be confident with to be able to paint in the remaining time. So that meant I had to grab some Blackguard, box 5 of those off the shelf, 3 shades, the new style Hydra that I have 2 painted Hydras, the older kind of ugly lower to the ground style that came out with the 6th edition Dark Elf Army book. But I wanted one to match, to be a little more updated and match the current Dark Elf line. So I wanted to get that painted up for the Blood in the Sun. And then I had to paint up 14 more. I have to get 14 more repeater crossbowmen. Most of them are assembled, but I had to assemble a few of them and get them ready. So I sat down Wednesday night, cranked out, just worked on assembly, which, if we know the Conzi, it ain't much about being getting things assembled. So I started with the metal models, everything that I had, all the dark, the black art and the shades. These are old metals I had purchased back a year or so ago when Finecast was first kind of, before Finecast was kind of announced, but we all knew it was coming. And so I kind of went a mad panic at that time to go buy a bunch of models that were sitting on the shelf that I knew I was going to need for my eighth edition eyes, my existing Warhammer armies, the ones that I had the most passion about playing still. But I never really got around to putting those models together, so they've sat on the shelf for about a year, year and a half. And I guess that probably, in the long run, it's probably saved me some money, because I started seeing some of the Finecast pricing, I think, that's going to be on some of like the new Finecast Black Guard and shades, and that just doesn't... I gotta say, I'm not agreeable with that. But I'm glad I picked those up, and plus they're metal models, so they'll match the remaining models in the unit. It's not like I'm going to have some models that are kind of heavy and some models that are really light, which I'm not sure how that would work in the case if they get banged around and bounced around and metal models bouncing off some fragile, like the Blackguard with those fragile handles to their halberds bouncing around against the metal halberd Blackguard. I don't think that would mean the Blackguard survive very long, the Finecast ones. So anyways, 5 Blackguard, 3 shades, and 8 repeater crossbowmans, all whipped out and assembled in one evening. On top of that, oh yes, I have a converted Dreadlord on Dark Pegasus that I whipped together out of Wood Elf, new Gladeguard horse, and the old Malekith model for the Malekith on Dragon. Swapped in the head of the Malekith model for a head off of the new plastic Dark Elf Dragon sprue. And also swapped in the shield arm from that same sprue, so it definitely doesn't look distinctly like the Malekith model. It definitely has a look of its own. And I'm kind of excited to try this guy out. I haven't used any Pegasus in any of the armies that I own or play since 8th edition came out, so it's definitely one of the things that Pegasus were really cool back in, you know, previous editions of Warhammer, but the mount was so fragile that they just get, you know, it was just an expensive waste of points, except for those fun games where you just took the fun things you never used. So I'm kind of excited to get that on the table and see how it works. If it does work pretty well, I have some thoughts about, you know, adding and bringing a more monster oriented army to the table sometime in the future. Maybe that'll give me some motivation then, if this Pegasus works, to then do up the new style dragon, the one that just came out last summer, and get him finished, and then use that in combination with some Dark Pegasus and other monsters, double Hydra, some chariots, and Cold One Calf, to make a kind of a real themed monster bash list, which I think is something the Dark Elves do really well. So that's kind of what I've started to do for the Blood in the Sun. I've got this stuff primed up, and unfortunately I had to play some Warhammer last night, which, twist your arm, you gotta go play some Warhammer. So I did get a playtest in on the list. I won't say how that went here, just because I want to leave something of the things I've done, the games I've played, for the main Wisco Dice cast. I'll go ahead and detail out my army list a little bit here, and some of my thoughts behind what I'm taking and why I chose those things. And unfortunately, I had to choose and build the list before any kind of playtesting, so we'll see if things actually work after a few games are under my belt with this list, as well as I'm hoping they're going to. First off, I started the list with a Dreadlord. With now at 2,400 points, I can sneak in the Dreadlord and the level 4. So that was pretty good, and I was really excited about that. The Dreadlord, I've gave him the... Of course, I talked about it. I mounted him on the Dark Pegasus, and I gave him the Dragon Helm, the Sword of Anti-Heroes, Heavy Armor, Shield, Sea Dragon Cloak. So he's got a big, fat, one-up, zero-up, essentially, armor save. And then I gave him the Sword of Anti-Heroes, so I can send him chasing off into some things, like some of those big bunkers of characters, you know, the big Death Stars and Gut Stars that are out there. I feel kind of confident sending him into some of this stuff because he can go in, challenge, beat the tar out of, you know, any unit that's got like two characters. He's going to beat the tar out of whatever he challenges pretty good with the Sword of Anti-Heroes. And then he's going to turn around and have the Crown of Command. So if he does somehow lose the combat by, say, a musician or ranks or banners or something like that, it's a leader 10 stubborn roll. So I've got this guy, and plus he whips around and he's got some speed, so I can go after things like some war machines. I can go after some other items on the table. Sure, I didn't give him the reverse ward. I didn't give him a couple of the other tricks that could make him a little better, but... Considering some of the other elements I've got maybe on the board here, I think he's not 100% the biggest target in the list. So moving on, the next thing I have is, of course, the level 4 Dark Elf Sorceress. I took her Lore of Shadow, and I gave her the Sack Dagger, or the Sacrificial Dagger, and the Pendant of Caelith. This will mean she's with a no-comp atmosphere that's at Blood in the Sun. I'll be able to pump out easy 12 power dice phases, if not more, and have the reverse ward to help keep her alive. Then I follow up with my hero selection. I take a Battle Standard Bearer, who's got the Armor of Darkness for a 1-up armor save, and Crimson Death. I used to run this guy with the, I don't remember what it's called, the Magic Great Axe, or the Magic Great Weapon that was just basically armor-piercing back when taking the ASF banner, the Artillery Strike First banner, really meant something for the Dark Elves. But now, since that only just makes him swing an initiative, I prefer to take the Crimson Death on him. Plus, there's enough debuffing going on out there, knocking down unit strength, that Crimson Death just ignores that, because it cannot be modified. Next up on the hero selection, I took a level 2 Dark Elf Sorceress. Now, this one, Sorceress, is a Lore of Fire. And I took Lore of Fire because I want this Sorceress to be able to whip out a Fireball, whip out a Power of Darkness, or hopefully get a good buff or debuff. I don't remember exactly what's in the... I know Fire's got a good buff spell anyways. And then move on to my level 4 in the magic phase. Hopefully drawing out some Dispel Dice or maybe a Scroll, maybe with this caster, before I really get into the heart of my magic phase of that level 4. Now, on level 2 here, I did take a Dispel Scroll. I find it essential in every game that you're going to want. Everybody's going to be throwing... You always get matched up against a player that's just going to 6 die, try to get a spell off. And they're going to do that repeatedly, phase after phase after phase. Sooner or later, they're not going to roll Irresistible Force. Usually I find that sooner, earlier in the game terms, when I really don't want it to happen. Like, I really don't want to take a big Dwellers on my level 4 early in the game. So if they don't roll Irresistible Force, I want to guarantee that gets dispelled. I don't want to risk a dice roll, even if I had more dice to throw at it. Say I had 8 dice to throw at their 6 dice. I wouldn't want to take that chance. So I want to go ahead and make sure I always carry that scroll to get rid of that spell. Now, I move on to core, and I have two counts as core units in this list. The first counts as core list unit is the Dark Elf Repeater Crossbowman. Now, no Dark Elf army, at least in 8th edition, seems to be fit without a unit of these. And this is 26 strong. So this is where that 14 Dark Elf Crossbowman had to come that I had to assemble and paint. Now, I also included a 47 model strong Dark Elf Warriors unit. this unit has full command, whereas the repeater crossbow unit had only a banner and musician. I also gave them shields, just because I like to have that little bit additional sticking power. But with the Dark Elf Warriors, the Spear Elves, I gave them the Banner of Murder. I like this a lot because you can pile in a whole lot of attacks with Hatred and Strength 3. So I wanted those Strength 3 attacks, where they do score wounds, to actually dish out some damage. If I throw a Mind Razor or something like that on these guys, that Banner of Murder probably won't count for a whole lot of spit, you know, when you're throwing leader 8 attacks, or Strength 8 attacks. But when you're throwing those strength 3 attacks out of the unit, that really helps. On top of that, I have basically what I feel like is a one-use-only little trick in this unit, and that's a Dark Elf Assassin with a Runicane and Manbane. I know the Assassins have really kind of fallen out of favor these days, but this guy should at least be able to pop out. I'll keep him on the very, very edge of a unit where he's just clipping, so that should minimize the number of swings to him. And then hopefully with his weapon skill, he can really tear into a unit, score me some solid combat resolution. Say on a turn I had to take a charge that I didn't want to, so that I can turn around and get to my magic phase with those Spear Elves, and then throw the buffs with the shadow, or the buff and debuffs of the shadow spells, to then turn that into a mincemeat beating for the next round of combat. It's just kind of helps me guarantee that those Dark Elf Warriors are going to stick around where I need them. I also find that no Dark Elf list is complete without taking a few Harpies, so I got a unit of 5. I'm hoping that I'm going to get the 5 new converted Harpies that I've been working on for a while for the Beastmen, actually painted up for this to be in this list and go to Blood in the Sun. They're really outstanding models that I've got converted up, and I really am excited to put them on the table. But they're certainly not high on the priority of the paint on my painting table right now. I need to get through this other stuff first before I can, that I have to get done, that I don't have alternative models that are already finished for. My next unit is 19 Blackguard with a full command and the Razor Standard. Now, I love the Blackguard, and this is where I'd like to really concentrate my Mind Razors and such, whereas, and I'd like to not throw them on that big unit of Spear Elves. Now, the Blackguard are, you know, they always get to reroll attacks every round of combat. They have Strength 4, which is nice, but I want to make sure, again, that those wounds get through, and I found very quickly that against, say, like, in my Orcs and Goblins list, that my Biggin units would get into combat, tear the living dickens out of something the first round with their strength, you know, with the Strength 5 great weapons. And then the second round of combat, they'd be back down to Strength 4 and just couldn't chew up very much of the enemy. So, because the enemy would then turn around and get some 6-up armor, 6-up parry, or some combination, even 5-up armor, and you just couldn't chew through things that were like Chaos Warriors and Dwarf Warriors and such with, you know, hand weapons and shields. So this is a great way to make my Blackguard far more efficient, to make sure that they chew up those enemy models. Last couple of things I've included in the list is, of course, the trusty War Hydra. I didn't go for 2. I think that's, not that I think that's a bad thing, but I think that puts a little bit too much eggs in one basket for a list. So I wanted to diversify a little bit, and I wanted to include a little more shooting, so I threw in a unit of 7 Shades. With the way Scout works, I should be able to get these guys well into a position that they're safe for a while and force somebody to either have to turn their units to come deal with them, or just have the opponent have to deal with taking 14 shots a turn from Ballistic Skill 5 Shades. Alright, that rounds out my army list at 2,400 points exactly. A total of 113 models on the list gets me kind of excited. I look at the character points that I spent, and I definitely see that if I do have to play a points denial game, I definitely want to avoid giving up my characters. That's going to be a little bit harder to do when I have a Dreadlord on a Dark Pegasus, but we'll see how it goes in some of these test games before we even get to Blood in the Sun. Anyways, I'm really excited to get these Dark Elves back on the table, and I might actually stick with them for a while now as both my tournament army and more of the main army I'm playing. I've always, in the past, I've always loved playing the Dark Elves, and the first tournament I ever won was with the Dark Elves, so I'm hoping for some good things. I don't think I'm going to win Blood in the Sun by any means. I don't think the appearance on this army is going to be able to do that for me. But I sure'd like to be in the top, say, 20-25% of the tournament at the end of the day. And with this army, I think I have a chance to do just that. All right, well, that's it for another episode of Conzie's Diary. I hope you enjoyed me kind of rambling on some thoughts about the Dark Elves. Someday, maybe in the future, we'll do a full Dark Elf Army review on the main Wisco Dice cast. But for now, let's go ahead and just check out, and we'll see ya.
Yes, yes, I love the Dark Elves. They're one of my favorite armies. That's why I love the Conzie, too.
Yeah, it's good we have a fan. Good job, fan.